The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 6th chapter. Jesus said, "And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases, as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." This is the word of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. This evening begins the 8th consecutive year we've used a portion of Martin Luther's Small Catechism as the focus of our meditations in these Lenten midweek services. This year we consider section 2 of the Catechism, daily prayer. I imagine the most familiar prayers Luther includes in this section are his morning and evening prayers. The other two are a blessing before meals and a prayer of thanks following meals. We'll be considering each of these individually in the coming weeks. This evening, however, we are focusing on a prayer that Luther doesn't provide in this section, the Lord's Prayer. I should perhaps hasten to clarify, although it's not printed out in this section of the Catechism, the Lord's Prayer is indeed all over it. Following an invocation in the morning and then again in the evening, Luther instructs, "Repeat the Creed and the Lord's Prayer." Concerning mealtime prayers, he writes that after opening with verses from a psalm, shall be said the Lord's Prayer, followed by another brief prayer. So although it's not provided in this section of the Catechism, if you assume 3 meals a day and follow Luther's instruction, you would pray the Lord's Prayer 8 times every day, at least, more often on Sundays. This might seem a curious encouragement, particularly since significant portions of Christianity today judge spontaneous prayer far superior to any written prayer, particularly one that might be repeated over and over and over again. I've even read of some Christians who apply the opening verse of our text to the use of the Lord's Prayer. They liken praying it to heaping up empty phrases, as if those praying think they will be heard for their many words. Much better, they teach, if the prayer originates in your heart and is personal and spontaneous, rather than formulaic in any way. What Jesus says when he gives us his prayer, however, is, "Pray then like this," or even more forcefully, as Luke records, "When you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come," and so forth. The Lord's Prayer is the perfect prayer for every Christian. As Luther puts it, "I should be certain that these petitions are pleasing to our Father in heaven and are heard by him. For he himself has commanded us to pray in this way and has promised to hear us." When we pray from our heart, we run the risk of those things which come out of our heart polluting also our prayers. You're familiar with the list that Jesus provides: evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. That's what's in our hearts. But the Lord's Prayer, originating from God himself, is pure and holy. When we pray it, we are asking God to provide what he has promised to give, what in his mercy and grace he most wants for you and for me. Jesus begins by giving us the privilege of addressing the Almighty God, the all-powerful and righteous Creator and ruler of the universe, intimately, as our loving Father, indeed as our Daddy. And to underline the confidence we can have, he goes on to teach about this prayer. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? The first three petitions seem to be addressing concerns of God. Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. But God's name is holy. His kingdom will come, and his will be done even without our prayers. He doesn't need us to pray these things. But when we keep God's name holy, when his kingdom comes to us, when his will is done among us, that means we are his people and he is our God, and we receive from him forgiveness of our sins, deliverance from death, and eternal salvation. If you look at the big picture that the scriptures provide, what is God's overarching will? What does he want? It's simply this. God desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Or as Jesus put it in his conversation with Nicodemus, God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. God's will, for which we pray here, is that trusting in Jesus as our Savior, you and I would have eternal life. And notice how Jesus ensures here that there are many people interceding for you. The prayer he has given us is not one each of us is to pray for self alone, but we pray, our Father, and later on, give us, forgive us, lead us, and deliver us. In our Lord's Prayer, he has us interceding for one another. Me for you, you for me, each of us for family members, neighbors, co-workers, that those who do not believe would come to know his name is holy, that his kingdom would come to them also, that his saving will would be done in their lives, and that others who believe would be strengthened and sustained in faith toward God and in love toward one another. Jesus teaches us to pray next for everything that has to do with the support and needs of the body. He says, pray, give us this day our daily bread. There's no earthly blessing that isn't included in this request. And by it, he also teaches us confident reliance on him as the giver of every good and perfect gift, who each day, out of fatherly divine goodness and mercy, provides us with all that we need to support this body and life. And again, note that this is not a prayer for self alone, which we're often tempted to pray, but for us, which encompasses, whether we consciously consider them or not, others who are experiencing need or want. He continues as he has us pray, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. As you heard, that word translated as trespass could also be translated as debts or as sins. This is certainly our greatest need, for it is the things that we have done wrong, or the good things we have failed to do, that separates us from the holy God. But note again how Jesus turns my heart toward my neighbor and has me pray for her forgiveness. Not only that, but urges me to extend my forgiveness to those I pray my Heavenly Father would forgive. Peter's question about forgiving 7 times and Jesus' responding parable of the unforgiving servant in Matthew 18 come to mind here. Jesus continues to teach us to pray for ourselves and for our neighbor when he says, "Pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." And Luther is surely correct when he highlights the most dangerous temptations as those which would lead us into false belief or despair or other great shame and vice, which is to say, those sins, those temptations, which would lead us away from trusting Christ and result in eternal punishment in hell. The same is true of deliverance from evil. The evil one, the devil, wants us to join him in eternal punishment. To be delivered from him and all his works and all his ways is to receive the inheritance of heaven. This is God's will for you, which he has accomplished in Jesus Christ, crucified and raised again for your forgiveness and salvation. There's so much more that could be said about this wonderful prayer of our Lord, which is fitting to pray at all times and in all places, for it addresses every need of body and soul and fulfills God's will that we make supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings for all people. I'll close, however, with this one thought. In this prayer, we join Jesus in his intercession with the Father for you and for me. As you read the Gospels through, every petition in this prayer is paralleled by requests that Jesus made for sinners, or is paralleled by things that he said in his teaching. This is more than just the prayer he taught. It encompasses his concerns for you, that you would be delivered from evil, that you would not be led into temptation, that your sins would be forgiven, that you would have everything that you need to support this body and life, that God's name would be holy in your life, that his kingdom would come to you, that his will for your salvation would be accomplished. Joining Jesus in praying for your neighbor and yourself 8 times or more each day is certainly a good and fitting practice. Indeed, the Lord's Prayer can appropriately be the constant prayer of God's people in Jesus Christ. For he says, when you pray, say, and his word says, pray constantly. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, to life everlasting.